Chapter 35. Argentina. Driving home from court that day, I was morose, and my sadness infected Jacob and Lori. From the start, I had been the steady one. It upset them, I think, to see me lose hope. I tried to lie for them. I said all the usual things about not feeling too up on a good day or too down on a bad day, about how the prosecution's evidence always looks worse on first sight than it does later, in the context of the whole case, about how juries are impossible to anticipate and we should not read too much into their every little gesture. But my tone gave me away. I thought we had probably lost the case that day. At a minimum, the damage was enough that we would have to present a real defense. It would be foolish to rely on reasonable doubt at this point. The story Jacob had written about the murder read like a confession, and try as he might, Jonathan could not disprove Derek's testimony that Jacob wrote it. I did not admit any of this. There was nothing to gain by telling the truth, so I didn't. All I said to them was that it wasn't a good day. But that was enough. Father O'Leary did not appear to watch over us that night or anyone else. We barbers were left in complete isolation. If we had been shot out into space, we could not have felt more alone. We ordered Chinese food as we had 1,000 times the last few months because China City delivers and the driver speaks so little English that we did not have to feel self-conscious opening the door for him. We ate our boneless spare ribs and General Gao's chicken in near silence, then slunk off to opposite corners of the house for the evening. We were too sick of the case to talk about it anymore, but too obsessed with it to talk about anything else. We were too gloomy for the idiocies of TV. Suddenly our lives seemed finite, and much too short to waste, and too distracted to read. Around 10, I went into Jacob's room to check on him. He lay on his back on the bed. "You okay, Jacob?"
"Not really."
I went over and sat on the side of the bed. He hoisted his butt over to make room, but Jake was getting so big there was hardly enough space for both of us. He used to lie right on my chest for naps when he was a baby. He had been no bigger than a loaf of bread. He rolled onto his side and propped his head on his hand.
"Dad, can I ask you something? If you thought things were looking bad, like the case was about to go the wrong way, would you tell me?"
"Why?"
"No, not why, just would you tell me?"
"Yeah, I guess so."
"Because it wouldn't make sense to, well, if I took off, what would happen to you and Mom?"
"We'd lose all our money."
"They'd take away the house?"
"Eventually. We put it up as security on your bail."
He considered this.
"It's just a house," I told him. "I wouldn't miss it. It doesn't matter as much as you."
"Yeah, but still, where would you guys live?"
"Is this what you've been lying here thinking about?"
"A little bit."
Lori came to the door. She folded her arms and leaned on the doorpost.